bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Y'all ready?
Say, all right, let's go.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
I always like to get up at 9 and go, oh, let me watch the last 14 seconds of the Jags game.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the victory formation with 13 seconds left. We welcome David Spade to the viewing broadcast.
Earlier on the show, host of the Rich Eisen Show, Rich Eisen. Coming up, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Hey, everybody. Hi, it's me. Rich is also here. Brockman's here. Del Tufo and his 60,000 Instagram followers are also here. And TJ is here as well.
What up,
after a fun weekend. Like, it was a great weekend. Like, Mario Cristobal's team didn't take a knee. And
yeah,
USC couldn't stop anybody. And Michigan won. Yay. And Syracuse got its butt kicked. And, oh, there were NFL games. Yesterday as well, the San Francisco 49ers ended the Cowboys' Super Bowl dreams. They're all saying because they have to go there again. If they face them again in the postseason, it's going to be there. I'm sorry. They're not going to win there in January. The Cowboys are not going to go into Santa Clara
and win
in January.
Let's just quit.
Oh, yeah. And anyone realize the Eagles are still undefeated? They're 5-0. I got to call the first quarter of that game on Rams radio yesterday because good friend J.B. Long, voice of the Rams, great job, always does a great job, got stuck in San Francisco after doing Cal Oregon State. Bad weather, canceled flights out of SFO Sunday morning. I get a text at like 9:45. Can you call the game? Sure. Go across the street to the first quarter. Then J.B. got there. But the Eagles are really good. Yeah. Anyone notice? Yeah, I think so. And the Patriots are the worst team in football. Yeah, we said it.
I don't think that's an exaggeration whatsoever.
It's not an exaggeration. That is not an overreaction here on Monday. They're the worst team in football.
Panthers, Broncos, but they can actually score touchdowns. New England cannot.
They cannot. And as we welcome Rich back in from his well-appointed hotel room in London, Rich, we were talking.
Mintless.
Yes.
Did you get that mint?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm mintless in Mayfair. That's what I'm doing right now.
Chris,
hey, I turned down service for you guys, so I better be here for the third hour.
We're happy you're here for the third hour.
I ain't leaving.
Chris asked the question, at what point does he, as a Patriots fan, stop watching and stop caring what his Patriots do on game day?
Let's look at the schedule. Let's call it the schedule.
Let's find out, Jets and Patriots fans
have gone through this before.
It's kind of like one of our favorite videos that we love to show is when Mike Del Tufo went ahead and tried to get Mr. Wonderful to purchase an app from him about making sure that you... it was an app about making sure that your parents were alive, because when they turn the phone on, it pings your app so that you know that they're still alive. And then, Mr. Wonderful said at one point, so you want to know the exact moment that your mom had died is what he said. In that vein, very long way to go, basically say, I want to know the exact moment that Chris Brockman is going to jump ship on the New England Patriots. And I see the schedule that's up there right now.
Yeah, Rich, we got the Josh McDaniels Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, Rich, am I?
Are you going to go to that now? Or you're not going to that now?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I'm going to waste $1,000 going to Vegas now.
I was told, by the way, by the CBS crew that's here doing our games internationally, that's a Nance and Romo game.
Why?
Because the crew there has, I don't think they've done a game in Vegas yet, and that's where the Super Bowl is. So it's technically going to help everybody get ready for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Everybody gets to see you too, though. So there's the Benny.
Is that right? I don't know. The Sphere tickets are pretty expensive. Then you got the Bills.
I imagine the Raiders win tonight, right? So they're going to be decent. So that's a loss.
I don't know about that, by the way.
How do they beat? They can't keep up with the Commanders. So that's.
I think it's at Miami, Chris.
You're going to snap that right off a Week 9 game at home against the Commanders already.
Yes.
No. Okay. Hey, let me jump in here, please. Chris, you and I both know you are snapping that television off at Miami when they put up a 40 burger before halftime. You know that that's where you're broken.
And Rich,
you're broken as a human.
And that was my point in the break. I said, look, you know, I got the three TVs set up at home. What week do I just not put them on one of the TVs? And
that point is already here. I think the better question is, at what point do you stop caring and stop expending emotional energy? And Rich is a Jets fan. Me as a Browns fan. We have been through this.
I think I'm there already.
For years.
You can help. Let us help
for years.
You. Let us help you,
yes.
Chris. Let us help you. Hey, Andrew, when Brady left, I said to Chris, welcome to the rest of us.
Yes.
That is the words I said sitting in the chair in which you're currently sitting. I turned to Chris and I said, welcome to the rest of us, because at some point you're going to go through things that the rest of us have all gone through. He water skied behind those Brady yachts for 20 years and never really had to experience much other than Super Bowl disappointment or the early season, you know, knee getting blown out, the Matt Castle disappointment that only netted you 11 wins that year. So welcome
the playoffs.
To the rest of us. How can Andrew and I, as Browns and Jets fans respectively, help you through this very trying moment?
Can I give a little bit of advice?
Like, what is your mindset? Like, do you still care? Obviously, we still care about football. We're still going to watch.
Yeah.
But like, how do you detach yourself from your favorite team in that manner?
You never root against them because you're already thinking Caleb Williams or Drake Bay or Michael Penix.
I mean,
right. You're already thinking that. You can't root against them. Don't ever go there. But
I did pick us to win, to beat the Saints yesterday.
When they lose, you just have to stop caring, which is hard, but it's the self-loathing you need to step back from. Like, for example, when the team loses, I spend my Sunday night and my Monday night, and maybe there's a bottle of brown liquor in there as well, but you spend that time going, I can't believe I spent so much mental energy and emotional energy leading up to this game, because think of all the better things I could have done this past week, or if it's when it comes to baseball, like Rich, you with the Yankees or me with the Guardians. It's like, what have I done for the last 6 months when it comes to TV time and emotional energy and the family events that could have, you know, I could have spent more effort in those things.
Of course, it's about being a better,
self-care.
More well-rounded person.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the
But let me explain, though. I got to push back here. When Trevor Lawrence was on the line, I was openly rooting for Jets losses. And then when they finally won, I was more angry than any time in my Jets fandom.
Really?
Oh, my God. Because I saw these moments that I'm going through right now coming down the pike. I saw them. I'm like, I saw them. And Trevor Lawrence, I saw him in person, and I just saw what he did. I just saw him throw into second windows against the Bills defense like it was nothing. I'm seeing what he's doing.
By the way, 300-yard game for the first time since last December, like we said.
You will never guess the last 300-yard pass that the Bills gave up. I couldn't get that fact in because things were going too fast.
Who was it?
Jacoby Brissett, bro.
No
Jake Brissett, everybody.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Amazing.
Jacoby Brissett. Couple of years ago,
with the
last guy who threw for 300 yards. No, I think he was on the Browns.
Oh, wow.
But if you look at the Patriots' schedule, where is there a win?
What I'm saying. You're still going to always have them on the television set.
You're
still
going to
always see it. Certainly since you're going to start openly rooting for losses, because that's the way through
Kid in USC. Are you really going to openly
that's the way through it.
For losses? Can you get there emotionally?
Yes.
You can.
He's already there.
Here's where I think you're going
to
have a problem.
34-0 at home to the Saints.
Awful.
Andrew,
was offensively dysfunctional. The Saints came in averaging 15 points a game. Here's where I think you're going to have trouble as a Patriots fan. I don't know that you're truly bad enough, because you still do have Belichick, and there are going to be a few weeks where he schemes them up, and they are, even without Judon and Gonzalez, that they're going to get a couple wins here on this schedule that you don't foresee, and they're not going to get one. So the question is, do you get the third or the fourth or the fifth
pick? Rams years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. But Andrew, very, very well intended what you said. But look at the man you were just addressing. Look at the man. I'm looking at him right now, even though, you know, we're separated by an ocean. Look at that man. He's a shell of a man. He's a broken man. That's a broken man you're looking at right there. And for those, all those Jets fans out there, speaking for them, there's a large cup of tears. But I love you so much, Chris. I can't be that guy. Plus, I love my wife, my brother-in-law, my son, everyone else that roots for the New England Patriots. I want them happy. I want you happy.
I will be happy when Caleb Williams is on our team next
year. Caleb Williams ain't going to be a Patriot.
Drake May or Michael Penix. I'll take any of the three. I'm not greedy. I am not greedy. Any of the three.
You might get them.
And you trust Bill Belichick and Bill O'Brien to develop your quarterback. No. I can't believe I'm saying that sounds out loud, but I'm going to say
no.
it.
No.
Okay.
No. Which is why I said before the year that this was Bill's last season in New England. Someone else, please. And all due respect to Jerod Mayo. He was a great player for us, and I'm sure he's going to be a great head coach. I don't want another defensive coach trying to lead a young player in this league when you need to score points to win games.
Now, that said, just and then I'm just to move on to another subject matter, if you don't mind, from something that's in my head. I will say this. 2 weeks ago, Chris, 2 weeks ago, it wasn't too far from this moment to then. 2 weeks ago, I was in a pool of my own Jets drool, staring at another season of Zach Wilson complete ineptitude. And you were the ones that avoided the 0-3 start, going 1-2 with nothing except the usual Bill Belichick, you know, voodoo and seeing ghosts and everything that he was is at the top of that game. I understand injuries have taken place since then, but anything can change. I'm telling you, there's some reason that Bill will try to figure something out. There might be something that happens here or there. You're not going to get Caleb Williams. Because, yes, Andrew is right that they are too good to get there. That said, you will never take them off your television set. But I'll just to pinpoint the exact moment you become the complete broken shell of a man that I think you are. I'm going to say 10 minutes into the second quarter of the Miami game. I'm calling it right here.
It's 35-0?
I won't go that far. But I'll say it's something damn close to that. Right. Yeah.
I will tell you the exact moment that you stop caring. Wednesday, October 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific, when the Celtics open up at Madison Square Garden.
That helps too.
To battle the New York Knicks.
That helps too.
By the way, did you see Porzingis yesterday? Oh, baby.
Hold on. Are you doing preseason NBA takes here?
Drew Holiday.
Get out of here.
I can't believe he's saying it. I text him yesterday, and I go, hey, you know the Celtics Sixers are on ESPN.
Wait.
He wrote back, who cares? It's preseason. And then 10 minutes later,
this
was like,
Sunday?
You see Porzingis?
There's a game yesterday.
You switched over to preseason NBA on an NFL Sunday.
I was scrolling highlights. Porzingis had an alley-oop dunk. I was like, oh, baby.
And he plays for the Celtics now?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Rich, your name is on the wall. What's the other thing you wanted to get to?
No, it's okay. I want to talk about the Bengals because I was all in on them.
Yeah, buddy.
I was all in on them being in trouble. And that, again, you know, despite overreactions and things of that nature, I just looked at how Burrow looked in that loss in Tennessee and looked at how they were turning down contact on Derrick Henry, and that was not the type of defensive effort that I was used to seeing from Cincinnati, and their 1-3 start might be a hole that is difficult to dig out of completely because, you know, any mistake-ridden football or a mistake here or there that might cost them a game and in a very tight league might cause them to miss a division crown or be seated a little bit lower in the playoffs than they're used to. Altogether, though, what I saw in Arizona, and again, I understand that this is a team that performs way above itself, and a lot of folks think that you can't measure a team against them. The Giants are a perfect example. But the Burrow that I saw and the Ja'Marr Chase that I saw and the defense that I saw is the Bengals team that I thought we would all see from week one, despite Joe Burrow being hurt in the preseason. I was very pleased for the Bengals fans out there to see what I saw. And, you know, we can confirm that Ja'Marr Chase is indeed always effing open.
Always open.
My gosh. He backed up those statements. He had an incredible game. Burrow looked to me spry. He picked up a couple first downs with his legs, slid on that leg, and then hopped up and did the Joe Burrow sort of ball drop for a first down. I liked the swagger. I liked some of the defense at the end of the game. I understand the Cardinals did make it get a game late, but I liked what I saw from Cincinnati. And how about that AFC North, man? With the Browns on a bye and then the Bengals winning that game and the Steelers beating the Ravens, after 5 weeks, the team that got boat raced in week one by the San Francisco 49ers, the Steelers are on top. And, you know, blame Canada, Matt Canada. Does he have a burner account? Does he not? What's going on with the run game? Najee can't run. Maybe they should use Jalen Warren more. All of the hand-wringing, and appropriately so, over that offense. They're 3-2, and they're hitting their bye week in first place with a win over the Ravens, having kept they stood their ground against the Steelers and the Browns at home. You have to hold your turf at home in order to win games and win divisions in the National Football League. And they did what they had to do in Vegas, and they stumbled in Houston, and they stumbled at home. You can't even call what they did against San Francisco a stumble. But how about those Pittsburgh Steelers getting it done? The Ravens, I can't wait again to see them here in London against Tennessee, coming off of that loss to Pittsburgh that they had wrapped, essentially. Pickett to Pickens is something that we need to see a hell of a lot more of, but this just in, I think we will. And TJ Watt and the rest of that defense, Joey Porter with a big interception of Lamar in that game. That is exactly the type of Steelers game. It was ugly, but I didn't see any pictures in those standings that were just up on the screen. And I do see Pickett and Pickens celebrating a big touchdown. So the Steelers being on top is just yet another of those moments that in Tomlin, you got to trust. And then put it all together. The Bengals are back. Can't wait to see what happens with your Browns, Andrew, when they come off of their bye this week against the 49ers. That is a big game. And I'm seeing the Ravens in London. The AFC North is just fascinating to me in a way that I think a lot of folks didn't see it coming.
The way it swung yesterday with Bateman dropping a touchdown, with Aguilar dropping a touchdown, with, I believe, the Ravens credited with 7 drops. If you want to go to the PFF numbers, Lamar Jackson, I think, had the highest rating, like, other than Brock Purdy, when it comes to quarterback performance yesterday, because that factors in the 7 drops. Baltimore absolutely gifted that game. And it's very similar to what the Browns did there week 2 in primetime. Steelers defense gets credit. Slightly different. Yesterday was legitimate dropping of touchdown passes. The Browns offense gifted them that game a little bit as well, but they have survived, Rich, to your point, without, for the most part, a legitimate NFL offense. I mean, they're not the Patriots, but their offense has done nothing. They did in the fourth quarter. Kenny Pickett is a fourth quarter gamer. We saw that down the stretch last year, but they hadn't done that. They hadn't done that at all. They had 2 big plays the entire season. The long one to Pickett against the Browns and the long one to Calvin Austin against the Raiders. Other than that, their offense had been putrid. Mm-hmm. But the Ravens let them hang around. I mean, I flip it to the team you're seeing. If I'm John Harbaugh here, it's like I almost stole this one again. 3 division road wins in 5 weeks with a decimated roster. And then I'm going to London with house money. Total house money. The flip side happened, which is you are going there knowing that you gave that game away. You could have been sitting pretty there with 3 wins already in the division, and you beat everybody, but it's exactly the opposite. And to your point, Mike Tomlin finds a way every year.
He sure does.
Now they go into the bye, and they're looking good.
And, you know, again, this thing could be completely flipped. I mean, Cincinnati 3 weeks from now could be on top, and the Steelers are in last. And again, I'm all for it. This is definitely the most coin flip division in football that houses a team that can go on a run to win it all. Right. I mean, the coin flip division that the AFC South is, I don't know if there's anybody that feels that, the entire division can go on a run. I think the Jacksonville team that I saw in London can go on a run. The Jacksonville team I saw in London is a prideful bunch that can hunt a quarterback and put points on the board. And I can also see, you know, a handful of teams in the AFC, you know, North getting a long run going. Cincinnati's shown it. We're hoping to see the Ravens do it at some point. The Browns, as we all know, if Deshaun Watson is healthy, they can go on a decent run, potentially deeper than anybody could ever imagine. I know that that's something that you dream of, Andrew. And then, you know, the Steelers, discount them all you want. But this team just defied the odds, getting blown out in week one to win three of their next four and hit the bye week in first place and hold their ground in division in a way that, you know, we saw Cincinnati has not been able to. Unbelievable, especially since they prevented the Ravens from going 3-0 in division, winning all their games on the road. That would have been a huge leg up for Baltimore, but instead, not so much.
Something that had not happened since 94, that a team won three division road games in the first 5 weeks of the season. Had not happened since 94. The Chargers were the last to do it. Ravens had a chance yesterday. Time to tell you about Game Time. Rich, if you've had a frustrating ticket buying experience wherever you were trying to go to a game or a concert or anything, maybe if you need a last-minute ticket deal and you need something last-minute to get you in the door, you should go to Game Time. Just download the Game Time app right now, and then you could find something in your area that you want to go to, maybe take the significant other to. Again, it's not just a game. It could be a concert. It could be theater. It could be anything. Go download the Game Time app from your favorite app store, because Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Create an account when you download it, and then use the promo code RICH, R-I-C-H. If you do that, you get $20 off your first purchase. It's so easy. Obviously, restrictions apply, but go download Game Time right now or go to gametime.co to see the terms. Open your account, redeem the code R-I-C-H, and get $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Coming up, more of a reaction from a Sunday in the NFL on the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, folks, let's talk about Game Time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they pick up a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Hey, everybody. It's Andrew sitting in for Rich. Rich is in London. So George Kittle, happy birthday, turns 30 today. He celebrated his birthday last night by beating TJ's Cowboys 42-10 and scoring three touchdowns. And I don't know if you saw this. Did anyone catch this during the game, or did NBC know it was there and not show it?
He should be fined. That's all.
Did anyone see this?
I saw it this morning on Kittle's Instagram feed.
So George put on Instagram, and again, happy birthday, the shirt that he was wearing under his 85. We have blurred it, but it basically says a word that begins with the letter F, the Cowboys. And he lifted up his jersey, yes, to show that last night to the faithful. How about George Kittle? He wants to be a wrestler. TJ, I don't speak the wrestling vernacular here. That is a very wrestler thing to do. Yeah. Is it not?
So, wait a minute. So I saw that today, too.
I forgot Rich was here.
Was it blurry? No, I'm... Wow, that's great.
No, I mean, because I couldn't see you.
So that's blurred out. It said F the Cowboys on his shirt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Except
who's going to lose to me in rock, paper, scissors again? Does that mean like, was that paying off a bet that he had to do that?
It said bleep Dallas.
It said F Dallas.
Not the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Who lost to me in rock, paper, scissors again? What does that mean?
See, I now it makes sense because after he scored yesterday, I noticed he was throwing up like either a scissor or something. I didn't realize. So maybe he's playing a game with people at home, like when he scores.
He was on he was on McAfee today and was like, oh, I forgot I had that shirt on.
Yeah. I do not believe that.
Yeah. So okay. And I love the name of Chicken Tendy for touchdowns. I like that. Three-piece chicken tendy.
I didn't enjoy it at the moment, Rich, but I'm humoring it now.
Sorry, TJ.
42-10, by the way, if you're scoring at home.
Thanks, Andrew. I wasn't sure.
As we are back on the Rich Eisen Show here on the radio as well, and I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. It is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com. Just stop by Rich's in London after calling the Jaguars' big win over the Bills. We talked about the turf, Rich, earlier. It did beg the question, looking at the result and the way the Jaguars came out of the gate so well. Did the Bills make a mistake by coming in on a Thursday red eye and arriving on Friday?
Right now it sure looked it. I mean, we were talking about it during the game that the Bills looked like they were sleepwalking. They didn't look anything like the team that again, they weren't just red hot. They were putting up numbers that we have not seen through the first 4 weeks of a season by any team, period. They were in the realm of the 07 Patriots and the 99 Rams in terms of giving up fewer than 60 points and scoring more than 135 through the first four games of a season. They were on a roll by even the game they lost to the Jets. They led at halftime by 10. They were that on fire coming in. And then they arrived Friday morning. And I'm sure they have a sports science program there, just like every other team. I mean, the Jaguars, as you know, have urinals that can actually test somebody's hydration as they do their business, as we say in our restroom.
Really?
Yes, they do. Yeah, like this is what? Yes, like they have all sorts of ways to measure your sleep habits or your blood or your oxygen levels. All those things. Every NFL team has that. And I've heard different ways of handling it. One of them is what the Ravens are doing this week, which is you're going to make a week out of it. You know, it's more expensive to do that. And it's also taking your team away from their creature comforts of home. I mean, the Bills were at home all week long. They slept in their beds. They went to their facilities. They went to their locker rooms. They worked out on their own turf. And then they went to an airport, got in a plane, and slept all night long on the plane as best they can, got here on a Friday, woke up, from their slumber on a plane, got here on a Friday, went to their, spot, did interviews, did a walkthrough, did other things, and then went to sleep and got on a schedule. And again, I'm a 54-year-old guy, though, and clearly I'm not an NFL player. All I know is I'm dead tired, man. Like, I'm dead tired on Monday. I got here on Thursday. It's just tough. It's tough to figure out. It's tough to figure out time zones. It's tough to figure out where you are here. I would do it the way the Ravens are doing it, which is you get here on a Tuesday, on a Monday, and you start sleeping. And by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you got a shot at feeling like yourself. And I think what they're going to end up doing is let the players see some of the sights. I mean, Josh Allen had never been to London. And I'm sure he leaves here saying, I don't feel like I was in London. I mean, other than the fact that the buses I was driving in or riding in with the rest of my teammates were on the other side of the road. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way you get that sense of it. That's the way I would do it. I've been told the Titans are going to do it the same way the Ravens did, which is show up here Friday, get some rest, do a workout, do a walkthrough, get some rest, go to the stadium, play, and fly home. I don't know. It certainly looked that way. And I know part of what the NFL was doing by having the Jaguars go back-to-back weeks is to see how a team performs in that way, because the NFL is thinking about having a team based over here, I guess, or a bunch of teams based over here. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know how it would work. You know, we're hearing that next year they're going to add Spain to an international schedule. That's in the works.
Yeah, fantastico.
And, you know, I just don't know. I don't know how you could have a team over here where they would go on like a four-week road trip to the domestic United States and then have a four-week homestand where teams would just keep coming over here. It's just such a competitive – you think short weeks at home are a competitive advantage over the teams that are traveling? Well, then why don't you try flying over the Atlantic Ocean on for size? Certainly if you got to have a team from the West Coast come over here. Last year, Seattle, when they went to Munich, they arrived, I believe, on a Thursday. They flew off on a Wednesday, arrived on a Thursday. And when they arrived, we met them at their practice, and they were flying around, man. They were flying around and just, you know, music was blaring and Pete Carroll's running around, and it was everything you'd expect out of a Seattle workout. And then we met them in the meeting rooms, and they were like, this season's awesome. Geno's great. We're on a roll. Then we met with the Bucks the next day, and it was like businesslike, total businesslike. And Brady, this is when Brady was going through his personal issues, and he was talking about things not working out in the run game. And we went back to the meetings and our production, and we thought Bucks are going to get their asses kicked. And we all know it was the exact opposite. So go figure, man. I have no idea how these international games are working out, because I thought, you know, the Bills were going to come in here on some sort of a roll and Jacksonville would have its hands full. It was the other way around. And maybe it's because Jacksonville's been here for a week, and we'll see what the NFL takes away from that in terms of a competitive advantage.
And that's what I wanted to get to, is that I wonder in retrospect, it's easy to be the Monday morning travel quarterback here. If the Bills don't regret getting there late, not just because it's hard, as you said, it's hard to get off the plane, readjust, have a game 48 hours later. That's hard enough as it is. But because the Jaguars had so much extra rest, and Travis Etienne and some other guys said, we just knew in the locker room, we were so loose, we were so ready and so rested that they clearly had the advantage. If you're going to do the Friday arrival thing, I'm fine with it, right? But I would hope that you don't do it against a team that had an extra week head start. And that just doesn't seem to me like a fair fight. And I'm with you. I don't know how they eventually – they're going to expand. I mean, the NFL is dead set on expanding, whether it's Spain or multiple games there and multiple teams there, whatever. I think there are bigger logistical things, like just from a pure HR standpoint, like taxes or healthcare for your family or schools for your kids.
I just don't think
so many moving pieces to getting something there full time. I know we collectively as a league talk a big game, and we will continue to expand over there. I get it. But having something semi-permanent there, to me, whether it's collectively bargaining with the union or finding out all the other logistics and business and HR stuff, it just seems to be further than closer, at least for me. But you're you're far closer to the situation there.
I've got to tell you, there is, and I understand, you know, NFL fans and maybe the rest of the guys there in the studio, you would agree, aren't into the whole, you know, international thing. The only thing you like about these international games is it gives you a fourth window of football, right? I mean, but being here and seeing the fans, it is an incredible way to grow this sport, and which you have to do. I mean, you have to do that. Certainly, you'd see how the NBA is a global sport, and you could see how baseball, with having some generationally brilliant players coming from Asia over to the United States. You see the Caribbean. You see so many other countries making this an international sport, the World Baseball Classic. Much to the dismay of TJ and Mets fans, is an exhibition that I think most people love. But, you know, the NFL has to do this. And being here and seeing the fans firsthand loving this and just the atmosphere, you know, singing Sweet Caroline coming back from a 2-minute commercial break and just seeing the pageantry and the enjoyment, the NFL, it makes complete sense to keep expanding the international schedule. But to just expand, we don't have – take a look at the quarterbacks in the league right now, honestly. And there's not enough. There's not enough of them. And you're going to, what, start diluting that pool because you want to put a team in Madrid? You want to put a team in London year-round? That one makes no sense to me. But to export games – internationally, to come up with a full international schedule that there are 16 games internationally, that there's a handful in Germany, a handful in the UK, a handful in maybe, you know, a couple other places in Europe. I'm hearing Brazil is a spot, potentially Asia, maybe sending a game to Japan is something that's in the works. I'm hearing a lot of good stuff out of that. It makes sense for the league to do it, but to expand and put teams in here, I don't know how that's workable. I mean, honestly, just to bring my entire, you know, day with you guys on the show full circle, Cowboys Niners game of the day obviously didn't turn out to be that, but game of the weekend, marquee game, looking forward to it. 1:00 in the morning kickoff. Really? How's that going to grow the sport? Germany, it's 2 in the morning. It's just very difficult to do that. But if you put a game or two here that starts at 2 in the afternoon, whole country sees it, feels the energy in the town. They all show up in their jerseys that they bought, you know, when they were in high school back in the 80s and show up to the games in their, you know, Ricky Waters gamers. You know, like, that's pretty cool. And it's a great way to sell the sport. I just don't see it as a feasible opportunity to keep it going.
Two final thoughts on these games here. Number one, do you guys have some kind of fun scheduled for Derrick Henry, King Henry?
I don't know. Week? I don't think the Brits would greatly appreciate it. I made one reference to it during the game. You know, they take their royalties somewhat seriously here, I believe. So the fact that I would say, you know, move over King Charles III, here comes a running back. I don't know if they're into that idea entirely. Okay.
That's number one. Number two, you quipped earlier about Gardner Minshew Frankfurt. I think the Germans will love Gardner Minshew.
You know what? He does have a good Sprockets type feel to him. He should show up looking like that, like Dieter. He should come off the plane like Dieter, but I don't know, man. And why did this one thing, because I haven't been able to figure this one out or see anything. Why did Jonathan Taylor get so few snaps? Zach Moss was working.
I think Zach Moss was working. Zach Moss may join us later this week, by the way. Number two, I think the whole pitch count thing, Taylor had a couple of days of practice, but that was his first practice. I mean, going back to that first time, I think he got on the field for a hot minute. Did he even get on the field in training camp? I think they wanted to pitch count him, ease him in, and they didn't give him that much.
What a fantasy hosing that was.
It's like Cooper Kupp got the entire first half, you know, got over 100 yards in the first half, and then the second half the Eagles clamped it down, but you got your first half. Jonathan Taylor, you never really
got nothing.
Got that.
Rich, question for you. So I was watching you on Sunday. Again, great job. I was a little bit behind you know, from pausing, going to the bathroom, whatever. So there was about 30 seconds left. I went to turn my volume up, and I accidentally switched the channel, which, as you know, if you're behind, you lose what's going forward.
So
I got to know, when we got to the 15-second mark, did we shout out David Spade?
Yes, we did.
I forgot that.
Oh, 100%.
I was so mad, man, because I had it queued up, and then I hit it was the perfect. Wrong button.
It was perfect. It was perfect because it was time to just take a knee. It was after the, fumbled opportunity to try and hook and ladder there. By the way, I was thinking about you guys the entire last 2 minutes. Brockman in the 2 minute warning texted me, got to give Spade a shout out. but I was already thinking about it.
Yeah.
I was already, I brought it up in the production meeting as well. So it wouldn't surprise the rest of the professional crew that I would take a moment for us, you know, to use a Kilbourne phrase, meaning me as well. So I was thinking about that, but I was also thinking about before, you know, because I'm trying to keep people interested, trying to come up with how much time is left, you know, based on the no more timeouts and you punt it, it's going to get down to like less than 30 seconds. And I even turned to Kurt and I'm like, you know, hey, there's going to be time left on the clock. It may be a dumb and dumber type chance for the Bills, but there's still going to be something.
And then
the Jaguars pinned Buffalo in deep. But I brought up the fact and gave us a shout out on our show on the Roku channel every single day by saying, Josh Allen, don't you remember we once asked him, how far can you throw a football? And he said 70 yards, didn't he?
Yep.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, we may get a chance to see it. So I was kind of disappointed that the pitchy woo-woo did not result in giving us one Allen heave.
Did you call it a pitchy woo-woo?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I did not. But that's the, you know, the Scott Van Pelt shorthand. But what that did do once Trayvon Walker recovered it was to give a sort of change of personnel, timeout on the field, getting set for one kneel of the football. And thus, with the game over, I felt I could then use that moment for us and welcome David Spade to the viewing audience for the first time. Of course, not explaining that the reason why I did that is because he was on the Rich Eisen show the previous Wednesday calling, watching London games that start too early for him on the West Coast. Wake up at 9:30 and watch the last 15 seconds of a Jaguars game. Didn't mention that, but I did give him a shout out, TJ. So yes, I did.
Fantastic. Utterly fantastic.
And I still got to call this upcoming week. So so I'm here. I'll be here all week. Thanks, guys.
Ravens and Titans coming up Tottenham Stadium, NFL Plus, NFL Network this Sunday. Rich remains in London. Coming up next, some final college football thoughts from the weekend, and an update on Anthony Richardson's shoulder as Shane Steichen is currently on a podium. You're watching The Rich Eisen Show.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football, Josh?
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We were probably rounding up just a little bit, but 83 was that was the number.
So I don't know. I'm looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all, so you can play. You can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game. I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even blew me off guard. So something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my sure. ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this at some point during a game in your career. Let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this. Give it to me. Your own probably, what? Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air and get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards even end zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with 3-man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable.
Conversation. Just stop it. You guys cannot have that conversation. Hi. Andrew hey. Sitting in for Rich. Rich is still with us. It's my job to tell you here about AutoZone. The fact that you can stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone, game tonight in Vegas. Got the Packers and the Raiders. Devontae Adams should be able to go. Aaron Jones now seems like a big question mark. Anyway, it's sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app, or by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports, or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. You can stream Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner and Rich all season long for free, and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, Rich.
AutoZone.
Restrictions do apply. Now, I know that you waited up until the wee hours of the morning to see the 49ers plant their flag on the Cowboys' hopes of a Super Bowl run. I highly doubt, I'm going to assume that considering you guys had your game, Jaguars-Bills, you did not stay up to see Mario Cristobal and the Miami Hurricanes.
That was something we all talked about on Saturday morning. We could not believe we were talking about it. The entire crew talking about it. Kurt was like, what was that about? We were like, it had to be fourth down, right? And then we saw the video like, nope. It wasn't. And then we saw that poor kid on the Hurricane bench basically saying, what the F are we doing? I don't know. I honestly cannot compute how you do not take a knee right there. I just don't get it. That is what you call coaching malpractice. That's what that one was called right there. You know,
here's what Mario Cristobal said after the game to try to make sense of it.
You know, when the drive started, it was going to be at 157, you know, and we could burn about 127 off, and then it was recalibrated. I should have taken the timeout right there at the end. Thought he could get the first down, and you know, we talked about two hands on the ball, but that's not good enough. Just should have told him to take a knee in. That's it. Fumbled the ball at 25, and they went 75 yards from two plays. So, no excuse. No, there was no confusion on there. We were moving the pile. We were, you know, had a pretty good drive going, and just again, you know, you like to think that. Just that's it. And there's no other. I'm not going to make an excuse for it or say should have done this or that. That's it. You know, we should have done it. You know, sometimes just get carried away with, hey, just finish the game and run it. But I should have just stepped in and said, hey, just take a knee.
No confusion.
It's obvious. Wow. What do you say? There's nothing to be said other than the fact that in the, you know, the fog of the moment, they got caught up and I don't know how nobody's like, why are we running this? I imagine he's, you know, nobody's ever seen Joe Pisarcik. You know, they've never seen that footage of the miracle at the Meadowlands. I honestly don't know. There's no other words for it. And he knows. I mean, he knows better. I don't know how the hell that happened. Kurt couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. The whole crew couldn't believe it. That's all we were talking about when we woke up Sunday morning.
Donald
was that
Cheney Jr. got over 100 yards, I believe, on that final carry. I think that might have factored. Some have suggested that. The other thing, our good friend Drew Christensen, NFL Network producer, showed me yesterday morning Miami end-of-game situations already this season. The guy doesn't take a knee. He doesn't. He just runs it out. That's what he does. And last night, or rather Saturday night, it bit them. Also, maybe while you were sleeping with good reason, USC somehow survived in triple overtime, and Caleb Williams is a superhero, and obviously we know all those things. And they beat Arizona. Jed Fish's return to Southern California, 43-41 in triple overtime. Great. Everyone has a close one. USC has yet another close one. But the way USC's defense has performed, and our good friend Daniel Jeremiah tweeted during the game, there's absolutely nothing that USC's defense does well right now. No one takes more bad angles, more bad tackling, more blown coverages than USC. There is no way they're going to get through the schedule that remains. This week, NBC, the 7:30, the nighttime kickoff at Notre Dame, who lost on the road at Louisville. Jeff Brohm with another top 10 upset. Then Utah, then Cal, then Washington, Oregon, UCLA. Right now, three ranked teams to close out the season. USC is in trouble, Rich. I'll say it right now with that defense.
I don't know. Trouble. That's with that defense, but they got the best quarterback college football is sending to the pros and maybe since Peyton Manning. I'm serious. I mean, that's how good this guy is. Kurt is my quarterback Sherpa. And on the way to the game on Sunday, we talked about three college football items. One, that Oklahoma beat Texas and how that was just a gut punch to the whole Texas is back hopes for them. Maybe they face each other in a Big 12 final and can reverse the fortune and make the playoffs. Another one was obviously Mario Cristobal not having a crystal ball, you know, and then the last one being what you're talking about and how, USC's defense isn't all that great. And that's what cost them against Utah. But Kurt said there was one throw that Caleb Williams made going all the way to his right, thrown all the way to his left, or one of the other throw it left all the way to his right and saw somebody. I said, that's Mahomes, right? And I know Kurt throws these around like manhole covers. He goes, yeah, Mahomes. He is the next Mahomes in a way that you normally wouldn't want to peg somebody else, but I really feel he is. And so I wouldn't say that USC is dead in the water or in trouble with that kid. He can correct a lot of arm tackling by the other side.
And there is a lot. As it stands, I agree with you. He's the ultimate deodorant. They have five ranked teams here.
I'm sure he represents one.
Six. He
I'm
probably
sure
should.
Part of his NIL.
I mean, he's got amazing NIL.
He's given his 15th million on his NIL. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks
good job, Rich.
Thanks for being here, Rich.
Rich, thanks for joining us.
Rich Eisen, everyone, live from London, ahead of Ravens Titans Sunday, NFL Network, NFL Plus. For Rich, I'm Andrew. For Chris, for Del Tufo, for TJ, see ya.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you were asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction
Monday
podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.